This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:36 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana and Xiao Ning. We are turning our attention, though, to the economy of China, because the start of the week saw two major economic announcements coming out of China. Firstly, China's central bank, the PBOC, announced that it has cut its one-year medium-term lending facility rate by 10 basis points to 2.85%.
Now, this is their first reduction since early 2020. It also lowered its seven-day reverse repurchase rate to 2.1%, and injected 200 billion yuan or 31.5 billion US dollars of medium-term cash into the Chinese financial system. Secondly, official data from the National Bureau of Statistics also showed that China's GDP in the last quarter of 2021 grew by only 4% on year, while full-year GDP for the year came in at 8.1%. Now, although the data generally exceeded market expectations, it does perhaps hint of a slowdown in the growth for the Chinese economy.
So, for more analysis on the data and the outlook for China's economy this year, we speak this morning to Peijian Liu, China economist from NatWest Markets. Good morning, Peijian. Thanks very much for joining us today. Now, China's GDP in the last quarter of 2021 grew at 4%, while the full-year GDP was 8.1%. As we mentioned, it exceeded market expectations. Looking forward, though, what's your forecast for 2022?
Thanks for the question and good morning. I forecast China's GDP to slow further towards its long-term potential growth of 5.0 to 5.5% in 2022, and that's mainly because the growth drivers will likely to shift away from property sectors and infrastructure sectors investments towards focusing more on consumption and manufacturing.
And I also want to look at this interest rate cut, right? It's the first that they've done since April 2020. And it's the polar opposite of what we're seeing other central banks do. I mean, is this a preemptive move as they perhaps now only face the headwinds from the pandemic, which they seem to have previously averted in the last 2 years?
Yeah, I think China's polarized policy response compared to other economies, especially the Fed, is quite startling. But I would like to highlight that China is currently on a different phase of growth. In the medium term, China faces more downside risks now. That's including a more prolonged property sector growth, as well as a still weak consumption recovery, despite its outperforming manufacturing and export sectors during the pandemic years. So we think this rate cut that's been delivered on Monday is pretty necessary and beneficial to stabilize the weakening expectations towards a slowing down. And that will also help to reduce the cost pressures for the corporates and households.
So as you mentioned, consumption is going to be the focus, but it is the weakest link at the moment. So do you think the rate cut is sufficient, or do you expect other incentives by the Chinese government to boost consumer spending?
Yeah, we think that this one rate cut is definitely not enough in our view, because there are other constraints to the economy, especially to the consumer sectors. And that's mainly because China still holds its zero COVID strategy, which means whenever there is a COVID flare up, they will conduct massive testing and lockdowns to prevent the spread of the virus. So that policy will weigh on services and consumption recovery because of the massive disruptions. So we think that consumption recovery will still be relatively weak, and it will only become more sustainable growth if the pandemic management policies change significantly.
Now, another risk you highlighted is, of course, the property sector, which has been in the headlines, of course, due to Evergrande and Shimao. But is there the potential that this slump in this sector will have a contagion effect on other parts of the economy?
Yeah, there is always this risk, but we have not seen that right now, particularly because the consumer sector of the property demand is still relatively stable. We have not seen massive sales of properties at discounted prices, which means expectations are relatively stable as well. However, on the supply side, property developers do face more property liquidity constraints and may face more default pressures. We think that the central bank, the PBOC, might continue to stay on top of this and will step in with liquidity support at the right time to prevent that contagion risk from affecting the entire economy.
And looking more broadly, I suppose, at China's economy and the goal of common prosperity, which is a policy that President Xi Jinping has been pushing, are there any other policy measures that you will be keeping an eye on to see if there are any changes or any developments on in the coming year?
Yeah, I think common prosperity entails two major parts. The first one is continued growth, and the second one is probably more fairness and redistribution of the growth dividends. So in terms of policies, I think easing will continue as China is now in the phase of slowing down. So for fiscal and monetary policy easing, we think structural easing and targeted easing may play bigger roles in the medium term. And property sector easing is likely, but I think the focus will be more on low-cost housing and monetary easing that will also be coming through, but will tilt it towards supporting SMEs and green financing.
Do you think that they would particularly focus on any other sectors, though, that they are currently think is, you know, not so fair to the Chinese people? I mean, education was one sector they focused on. Technology was another. Do you see any other potential sectors that might be affected, though?
I don't see any new sectors emerging from regulatory risks. If there is any, I would expect completely transparent communication and predictable policies. So for now, I think the focus is back on short-term growth rates. So the easing will also be tilted towards those that growth has been slowing and lagging the overall pace of growth. And that probably includes the consumer sector, the smaller corporates, as well as the green financing. That's the new focus.
And can we get your views on the Chinese yuan? Because there's a remark by the PBOC Deputy Governor Liu Guoqiang, who's basically said that, you know, he says that a two-way fluctuation in terms of the yuan should be the norm, and the central bank would not allow one-way appreciation. What does that mean?
Yeah, I think the yuan faced quite a bit of appreciation pressure in last year, and that's mainly because of a very robust trade surplus, as we have been observed, and also a very continuous financial market inflows. So this might fuel expectations about yuan appreciation in view of the markets. But what the PBOC means with two-way flexibility is that the long-term policy outlook and growth does not really fundamentally support a one-way appreciation of yuan, which might be eating into exports competitiveness. So what the deputy governor was mentioning on two-way volatility, in my view, is that the PBOC will mostly stay on the sidelines. They won't intervene, but they won't hesitate either to step in to limit the strength if speculative moves come in. Fundamentally, I think that in the medium term, when the Fed starts to hike and the PBOC continues its easing, the policy divergence will ease the pressure of appreciation on yuan.
And final question from us, Pei Qian. The Chinese government's strict implementation of zero COVID policy has resulted in the closure of several Chinese cities and caused disruptions to domestic consumption and supply chain. Do you see prolonged impact from this? And what would make the China government reverse its zero COVID policy?
Yeah, the first question, the disruption could be putting more strings on supply shortages, which might lead to higher prices for longer because we're all facing an inflation problem right now, especially if China's manufacturing hubs or ports are affected by the lockdowns. But we don't think this impact will likely to be long-term because the historical instance shows that the port cities and manufacturing hubs recovers pretty fast after the COVID flare-ups because the management policies has become more targeted and swift. And on the second question, what will make China unwind its pandemic policies? I think it depends on two major factors. The first one is a widely rollout of mRNA vaccine, which is domestically produced because we all know that China still has not rolled out mRNA vaccines yet. And the second factor will probably be a very effective medication that's being developed domestically and to be rolled out.
All right, Pei Qian, thanks very much for speaking with us this morning. That was Pei Qian Liu, China economist from NatWest Markets, ending the conversation with some thoughts on what it would take to end China's zero COVID policy. And it's really on healthcare developments, on the distribution of an mRNA vaccine, which is seen as more effective than the current inactivated virus vaccines in circulation in China, as well as more medication and better treatment to tackle the virus.
Yeah, but I wonder how they're going to cope when the Beijing Winter Olympics start, right? It's just a matter of weeks. And you're going to let in thousands of people, participants, to actually come into the country. How are you going to effectively manage it? And already there are cases of the Omicron virus found in China. So clearly it's going to be a challenging time. Aside from the fact that economy, I think, generally still okay. They're still pretty healthy.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.